The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Last week on Power of the Word.
The conditions that create an atmosphere that God will work in is he has to be believed. He's not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. There's no shadow on it, nor variableness of turning in him. God is reliable, and what he says is what he means. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So God is believable. He's to be believed. And he's to be believed even in the face of things that would have tremendous contradiction in the natural to what we believe from him. There's a lot of things in life that want to take you away from God or take you away from believing God or trusting God. But God must be believed.
Nothing on earth is more valuable than the wisdom of God. James 1:5 tells us that if we ask for wisdom, God will give it to us. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, God has the insight to bring us through successfully. In this series, Dr. Ed King shares scripture focusing on the strategic ways God shares wisdom.
Knowledge is wonderful and we should pursue knowledge, and education is great and we need education. There's no question about that. But education alone is not enough. We need the wisdom on how to apply the knowledge that we have, the education that we have. We need wisdom to be able to put it into use.
To get your copy of Wisdom for the Times as a digital download for $7 or on CD for $15, call us at 800-956-4433 or visit us at poweroftheword.com. God will give us wisdom to navigate all of life's circumstances.
Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says wait, sometimes God says no. You ever heard that teaching? Okay. Well, there is sometimes a need to wait. That's faith and patience that inherits the promise. But delay is not no. Usually the reason you have to delay is because he's arranging things to get you something better than you'd have settled for. That's the truth. I've never had God pull me back and say, no, that's too big for me. You've stretched me too far, son. No. You've just gone over the edge. No, that's too much. We serve the too much God. We don't serve the barely enough God, the just enough God. We serve the too much God. He's the God of abundance. I came to give you life in abundance. That's the too much God we serve. Exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. That's the God we serve. Well, I've stretched him too far. I've pushed heaven too far. Heaven can't contain my infinite wisdom on the things that I need. I know more than God. I'm much more intelligent than God. So therefore, I've stretched the boundaries too far. And so God cannot ever bear the load of the pressures that I've put upon him. Give me a good Tennessee break. Give me a good Rocky Top break. I ain't buying. If you can think it, he can do it. Matter of fact, the Bible says God's all the while working in you, creating in you the energy and the will and desire to work and do for his good pleasure. The fact you thought it up was probably his idea. I mean, this is the way it works, you know. Well, we've stretched it too far now. We've gone too far. He said, speak the word only. So if you do those things, find out what the word says, put it in your mouth, pray through it, in the Holy Spirit, you can get anything you want from God. I'm just saying. Amen. Praise God. Now look over here in Jude. Well, I read that Jude 20, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now down here in Matthew 10 and 40, we gave you those little three as a parenthetical. Is that all right? You can make that a whole sermon. I may, but not today. We're talking about atmospheres where God works. Now in Matthew 10 and 40, it says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So there's an application of believing God. And so this application of believing God, there's a tier structure. When you believe God, there's God the Father, then there's God the Son. Now where we have problems is delegated authority that God has sent. Now, God said he would do nothing in the earth except he first revealed his servants to the prophets. So there's delegated authority that comes from God. And we have God the Father, God the Son. We don't have any problem with that. We do have trouble with the delegated authority. Well, I don't believe them, really. Now, remember, Jesus said, "He that receiveth you, those that I sent, received me. And he that receives me receives the Father." So there's that line of authority structure. Now I'm talking about believing God, and I'm talking about atmospheres where God works. We're in that theme and in that flow. And we're talking about an atmosphere of faith. We must not doubt. Okay. We find over here in Mark 16, familiar passage to you. Now this is after Jesus had been to Calvary, and he was raised from the dead, and you know he walked on the planet for another 40 days before he ascended to the Father. And he talked to people. He did that in his glorified body. He appeared in a room without opening the door. He appeared on the road and then disappeared. He was in a glorified body, the one you're going to get, or like the one you're going to get. That'll be fun. We don't have to get in the car and go to church. We'll just think our way there. Think about that. Matthew 16, verse number 12, "And then after he appeared in another form." There you go. He was in another form. "Another form unto two of them. As they walked, they went into the country. And when he told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." In other words, these people that Jesus appeared to, they went and told it to the group, and the group didn't believe them. Now, remember that delegated authority? I'm talking about atmospheres where God moves. "Well, I believe God, but I don't believe you." Oh. "Well, if I believed you, I'd be gullible." Not if you trust them. "I don't think it's gullible for me to believe Nora." Why? A lot of history. "I believe what she told me. Because she doesn't lie to me. Why would she? Why would I lie to her?" See, you trust. That's what we're talking about here. So you don't trust everybody. I get that. But just this general consensus of unbelief. "Well, I know he said that, but I don't believe that. I know that was a sermon. I don't believe that." Did we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us when we started this? Yes. "Well, I don't believe that." Oh, really? That's what we're talking about here. See, there's that general consensus of unbelief that settles in on a people, and it's not, "Well, I believe God. I trust Jesus. I'm not in unbelief." Do you believe what his servants say? "Well, I'm not supposed to believe." You are supposed to believe that. "Well, I caught them in an error." Well, confront them. But maybe the confrontation won't go your way. "What are you talking about? Are we going to end up in a fight?" No, you might find out you're wrong. Do you mean to tell me that every time we preach here, there's no correction goes on? It goes on all the time. That's what it is. That's the name of the game. That's how we grow. So we get confronted with things that we've got entrenched in us. We get confronted with truth, the truth begins to change us, and we begin to conform more into his image. I know there were times I couldn't hear that. I remember somebody gave me a book one time, and there were reasons that this happened. And it was history, not with that person, but with the thing that the book described, a movement. And I remember this book, and it was on spiritual authority. That's what it was. And I read that book, and I got about, a third into it. And I tore the book completely, at the back. I tore the book completely into it and threw it away. Why? Well, I just thought it was completely bogus. And then after I had a little time to think about that, I had to go buy a new book because the Lord really told me about it. He said, you need to read that book. And I said, well, see, you don't have ears to hear. Sometimes it's just beyond where you are. Doesn't make it not true. It's just beyond where you are. Well, I had to go back and get the book, and then I taught a series in the church on it. You're talking about having to eat crow or book or something. I had to eat this. But see, we think we know because we've not really been exposed. I outgrew my past. Not that what is past is unimportant. We build on the godly transition or traditions that have gone before us, and we keep and we hold them. But if it's an ungodly tradition, get rid of it. Amen? You ever heard the story about this woman? She'd always cook a ham. You ever heard that story? How many have heard it? How many have not heard it? Well, ask the people who've heard it. But she'd cook a ham. When she'd cook a ham, she'd always, how a ham's got that long end on it? She'd always cut the long end of the ham off before she cooked it. And that's what, and one of the children asked her, said, well, Mom, why do you always cut that end of the ham off before you cook it? And she said, well, that's the way my mother always did it. And so I just do what my mother did. Well, she asked her mother, said, Mom, why'd you always cut off the long end of that ham before you cook it? She said, well, I had a pot that wasn't big enough for it to all go in. See, sometimes we're holding as sacred things that are not worth being sacred. You got what I mean? We got ways of, incorporating that into our belief system. Amen. And so he appeared to the two, and, they told it to the residue or the others, and the others didn't believe them. I know I heard what you said, but I don't believe that. Okay. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He did not rebuke them for not believing him, the Father, the Bible, or the kingdom of God stuff. He rebuked them for not believing their brothers and sisters. And that was Jesus doing a rebuking. So it does matter. See, so unbelief just doesn't get focused on God only. It's a contagious thing that transcends and crosses the aisles where we're at. Now, I'm not talking about being gullible, but I'm talking about an atmosphere of faith. The reason I even draw attention to that is because, see, sometimes we can think we're believing God, but yet we don't. We're just unable to be convinced. We're skeptical of one another. So we build a strife in between us, and we think we're trusting God. That's interesting stuff, isn't it?
He sent his word and healed them. As the word goes out, it heals the hurting, mends the wounded, uplifts the weak, and nurtures the hungry. Through power of the word, we are taking that healing message of hope to all the world, to change lives every day and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Partner with us and help change lives.
Paul said that when you partner with a ministry, the grace that's on that ministry begins to be the grace that comes on you.
As you're faithful, we know you will see God change your life as well. We have several ways you can give. Go to poweroftheword.com. Call us at 1-800-956-4433 or text the word GIVE to 1-865-978-6380.
You find over here in John 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth, there we go. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not. So do you see belief, how it comes in here? So he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So it is important to be a believer. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm
not a doubter.
I choose to believe.
I believe on purpose.
It is my will
to believe. You know, that's it. You have to be willing to believe. Amen. So unbelief is an immediate disqualifier to God's presence, to God's deliverance, to God's actions, to God's presence, to God's manifestations, to his favor, to his assistance, to his answered prayer. Unbelief will disqualify you from anything that God does. You don't want that. We don't want that. We're here to believe God. We're believers. We're not doubters. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Getting pretty serious now, isn't it? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So this goes right into our eternity. Not just into the now. So believing sets the course for our forever. So it does matter what you believe. It matters in the now and in the world to come. Wow, pretty serious stuff, isn't it? You see in Romans 10 or 11, verse 18, boast not against the branches. Now, I don't have to give you all these verses. I could just say these things, but it's good for you to see it. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now, this root is referring to here is the nation of Israel and how God had sent blindness upon them that the Gentiles may be grafted in. They're the olive tree. We're grafted into that. All right? Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, being not high-minded, but fear. So unbelief broke them off. What he's saying to you is, don't fall into that trap. Say, what I believe is important. What I believe is important. Look at your neighbor and say, what you believe
is important.
Amen. Praise God. There's so much here I could just, it is good stuff. Yeah, it really is. You remember the ruler of the synagogue and his daughter that was sick? Remember that story? You can see it in Luke chapter 8. I won't read it all for time's sake. But anyway, she was sick, and eventually she died. And verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, They just come and told the ruler of the synagogue that his daughter had died. And Jesus' response, but when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be whole." Well, that's in the face of some opposite circumstance. But it was also based on the Word of God, because Jesus did say it. Amen. And so he did believe, and he didn't fear, and he did follow the instruction of Jesus. And when he got there to the house, verse 54, and he put them all out. You remember God works in atmospheres? What'd he do? Clear them all out. Clear the room. Get the unbelief out. Get the tumulting out. Get the naysayers and the gainsayers, get them out. Because we got work here to do. We got kingdom work to do. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. And she rose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, give her something to eat. And why did it happen? Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. If he had not done that, that would not have happened. Fear not, believe only. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
Believe only. What you believe matters. What you believe matters. Say, what I believe, really matters.
Really matters.
Amen. So that's why the devil wants to get you in unbelief. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
You find over here in Hebrews 4, and I'm hurrying, fixing to hurry or something. I don't know, maybe. Hebrews 4, you see verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The gospel was preached to us as well as them. The gospel was preached to us all. That's what he's saying. We all heard this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So if you don't believe it, you don't get it. I got this stuff. It's like putty. It comes in a stick. And in the core, it's like building clay, you know, modeling clay. And you can cut it off in little pieces, okay? And it's real pliable. And you knead it together like you'd knead dough. It's got a little wrapper on it, you know, to keep it from drying out. And you get it, and you knead it, you put it in your hands. And it's like modeling clay, about the consistency of modeling clay. And you mix it. The core of this modeling clay substance is one color, and the exterior is another color. And when you knead it and mix it, you can see the colors blend. So you can see that you've adequately mixed it. And what it is epoxy. And it's like clay, and you can stick it to things, and it'll dry, and it becomes hard as a rock. And I mean, you cut it now, you got to use a saw. I mean, it's dense. But epoxy, without the catalyst, it'll never harden and it'll never do what it was intended to do. You got to have a two-part epoxy. Some, you squirt out a tube, you mix them together, does the same thing. It's a two-part epoxy. One without the other won't work. So the word preached without the catalyst called believing will go ineffective, unusable, and accomplish nothing. It's useless unless you mix it. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What you believe is what you get. Only what you believe is what you get. Well, I don't believe in that healing stuff. You won't be bothered by it. You won't be bothered by it. So what's preached only works for you because you receive it and believe it. Well, I know somebody, they did that and they didn't get it. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. Don't judge your faith on their faith. This is standalone, guys. You're in this by yourself. Now, we're together. But when you get right down to where the rubber meets the road, what you're going to get out of this is what you personally believe. What we believe is critical to us. We find over and over and over through the Gospels, through other places in Scripture, where unbelief was a complete disqualifier to receiving from God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith simply, in its most reduced down definition, is simply believing God and believing His Word. That's what it is. And we believe it in spite of circumstance. We believe it in spite of contrary evidence. We just are believers. We are believers. We're called believers. Christians are called believers. So believing is your entryway into receiving from God. Unbelief is the disqualifier in any form of receiving from God, whether it be your deliverance from whatever maybe bad habit or sin that would be besetting you, or even coming to Christ. Unbelief will stop that. Now, there is a kind of belief that's a false belief, and that's the devil himself. It says about him that even the devils believe and tremble. But that kind of belief has no faith in it. And so belief that we choose to walk in has a faith attached to it. We believe and we trust. They don't. They believe it because they know it's true. But they don't trust in Him. And they can't the way we can. Right now, where you're at right now, right where you are, reach out and believe in Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to cleanse you by His blood, and He'll do it. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I take you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you to serve you today and forever. Sin, Satan, I don't serve you. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I know you meant it. You'd never pray a prayer like that and not mean it. Let us know here at Power of the Word. We want to pray with you. We want to love you. We want to bless you. If we don't see you here on this side, we'll see you on that side. God bless you. See you next time.